here on here.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is 2 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, March 20th, 2025. I would like to call the Ponce Inlet Town Council to order. I would ask that everybody please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that all council members are present and in council chambers. We are up to item 4, additions, corrections, or deletions to the agenda. Is Mike on Zoom? Yes. Do we have any additions or corrections?
No changes.
No change. Anyone? Seeing none, I move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted as presented. We are now moving on to citizen participation. This is your opportunity to come up to the podium, and at this time you can speak on a matter that is not on our agenda, and you will be speaking to the entire council. You have your department heads here, and we have our town manager on Zoom today. Please direct all questions and comments to me as the chair. And although we have the council and staff here, depending upon what it is that you bring to our attention, if we can, we will answer the question. But in the interest of accuracy, we may need to reach back out to you. One of the many reasons why we ask you to fill out the pink card with your name and contact information. If you're asking us to consider a policy, a change, or an ordinance change, I can assure you that we will be writing it down. And what you are suggesting, the manager will look into it, and we may reach back out to you after the meeting, or you may see your idea on a future agenda item. And as a reminder, each of us individually, council members and staff, are always available to hear from you. This is not your sole opportunity to share your concerns. So, let us begin. And the first request for citizen participation is Natalia Rivard. Would you please come to the podium, Mrs. Rivard, and place your name and address on the record? For the one. Okay, you both are more than welcome to come. He will speak? Okay, Mr. Rivard? Mike Rivard, thank you very much.
My name is Mike Rivard. I live at 4336 South Peninsula Drive. And I come to you today with a problem that we have run into with a water leak that was found at our residence. It was December 23rd, we got ready to pay our water bill, and we realized that we were being charged $355.28 for water and sewer. So we immediately came up to town hall and asked what the situation was. And they said, well, you must have a leak. So we finally decided and determined where the leak was, that it was on our side between the street and the house. However, on the 4th of December, when the meters were read, they said they notified us of an excessive water usage at our residence, and they never did. They said they left a voicemail message. The first telephone number they gave us was a number that had been disconnected for at least 10 years. And the second number that's on our records is my cell phone. And neither one, the deadline or my cell phone, neither one got a voicemail notifying us that we had a problem with our water. Now, because of that lack of knowledge, We didn't find out until 2 days before Christmas. We had to cancel all of our Christmas plans as far as people coming in for the holiday. Number two, we had to pay the $355, which we did because we wanted to keep things above board. And trying to find a plumber or anybody to work 2 days before Christmas is ridiculous. I mean, it's a non-starter. You just don't find anybody. But we did. We paid through the nose because you're paying somebody to work on the holidays when you don't want to be working. Mm-hmm. And so the bottom line is we feel that due to the fact that we were not notified, but we were told that we were, that makes, to us, that makes the city complicit, that they're telling us one thing and doing something different, okay? And due to that fact, we could have reduced the amount of water usage had we have known on the 4th of December instead of the 23rd of December. And we wouldn't have had such large water bills coming. So what we're asking today, and we've talked with the people at the city, we've talked to the city manager, we've talked to the mayor, and they said this was the last step. So here we are. We feel that it would only be reasonable that the difference between that $355 and what our normal water bill is, which normally it's a four, which comes out to about $113 a month instead of $355 a month, which is now a 28 units or however they calculate that, to get reimbursed, not in cash, but through monetary or through exchange of water for $261. And then we will take responsibility for the bill for December, which we've already got. That was the January bill, and we paid that, and we're not saying anything about that bill, okay? We're trying to be reasonable about the whole thing, but that, you know, it's, again, the lack of notification cost us through the nose when it came to getting people to try to fix this situation and allowing us to do something to minimize the amount of wasted water that we had. The other thing I'd like to bring out is we've been in this town for 35 years. And when you talk with your team leaders in the field, and this includes city manager, I think these people have to understand, when you have a conversation with them, they say, well, it's our money. It's not your money. It's our money. It's the residents who pay their salaries and who pays all the expenses for the city through our taxes. But they want to make you think that it's coming out of their pocket. It's not. It's coming out of our pocket. It's coming out of our tax money. So, you know, they need to take that into consideration when they're talking to the residents of this town. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I will ask you to please take your seat, because I now want to ask our manager if there's anything he would like to add to your situation, what he'd like to share with us.
Sure.
And then the council will take a few moments to speak. Is our town manager, is there anything you wish to add to this?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, this situation is unfortunate. We did leave a voicemail. We went back and checked our records. Unfortunately, it was the wrong number. It was off by one digit, and that's something that we did not realize at the time. We did make an effort to reach out, like I said, but it was the wrong number. Unfortunately, we did not know that it was the wrong number until we went back and checked the records. This is, and just so the council is aware, this is a courtesy that we offer. This is something that we like to do. We want to notify the residents, but it is not a requirement of our code. And I'll also say we've tried to do what we can to help the reports. He didn't mention this, but we've already issued a credit for sewer charges for $82.81. We've also waived the $90 charge for the three property visits and meter checks. So that's a total of $172.81. I mean, that's the limits of what we can do per code. We never said that this is our money. What we did say, though, is that the town has to pay the water for Port Orange. We pay the water that is comes through the meter that we purchase from Port Orange. So in that sense, we have to pay that water bill. So regardless of what happens, the way our policy is currently is that if there is a leak on the within the right-of-way on the public side, we will pay that. But our policy has been to not pay for leaks onto private property. Now, one thing I would like to bring up, you know, the council has been looking at this service from HomeServe. I think this would have been really helpful in this situation. This is a warranty program that homeowners can purchase. Basically, it's a warranty or insurance for leaks on their property. That's something this council has been considering, and we hope to bring that back to you for a final decision in the next couple meetings.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, so I know this is citizen participation, so I just want to let the council know what I believe our options are right at this moment. A council member on his or her own can certainly place this on the agenda for discussion and possible action next month. We can, by consent, do something now, either place it on the agenda or make an adjustment and provide a credit for the amount requested or something less. That could conclude this matter. If we do nothing and the Rivards wish to pursue this further and have it placed on the agenda for further discussion and action, that would be at a cost to them of $600. So we've been asked to consider a $261 credit. Again, this is citizen participation. I would just like feedback from the council at this moment how you would like to proceed. Does anyone have anything they wish to say?
Just basically just one thing. Mike, if I understood you correctly, we had a wrong phone number, which is what we've been sending out to. So they really did not receive notification that there was a leak or there was an excessive amount. Is that, I did understand you correctly on that. So they never were contacted.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay,
yeah, there was an attempt to make contact, but we did not reach them.
Well, if we can't do something about it today, then I'd like to see it on the agenda next month, because in a way, we're at fault. Yes, they had a leak, but I know when Ponce Inlet had, or Lighthouse Village had a leak, and I got this massive bill, and we didn't know anything about it, and they had notified, but they had notified the management company, not the HOA. And they came out, and me, another person and I, we shut off all 31 units, and the person came out, we turned on each unit at a time to find out, and we ended up having 7 units that had leaks. It was all on our side, but because I never got that notification, they did turn around and give us a partial credit, not a full credit. So if we can't decide something today, I would like to see it on the agenda next month.
Does anyone have any thoughts, Gary?
Well, again, I agree with what Bill just said there. And at the same time, I want to remind people, especially those of you that own swimming pools, is that you use a lot of water if you refill that pool. And your bill consists of a sewer charge and a water charge. So if you're refilling your pool and you're working on it, make sure you get a certificate from the pool people, and they will know about how many gallons of water you actually used, which you will pay for, but you will not be charged for the sewage charge that goes along with that. And in this town, the sewage charge is equal or sometimes more than the water charge. So the same thing for leaks, and the town already has done that Michael mentioned, that was given credit for the sewer portion of that bill that was
done. And I could substantiate that, because the village just had their pool completely redone, and I got a certificate from the pool company that did the work, and I brought it to the water department, and they ended up giving us $115 credit, eliminating the sewage usage for the gallons of water. So that is 100% accurate.
Joe or Skip, do you have anything you wish to share?
I'm good with putting on the agenda. I mean, if that's what you guys think we should do and review it, I would rather review it at as agenda item than discuss it here.
Okay. So you'd like it on the agenda for us to review?
Yes.
Further. Then do we have a consensus for that? Because I'm not looking to waste anybody's time, and I want us all to understand in detail what occurred, what was our responsibility, and things of that nature. So what I'd like to share with you, Mr. and Mrs. Rebord, this is not the end of it. The council, as a body, is going to look at what occurred, and usually something better comes out of it when we have the opportunity with the staff report and to see what has occurred. So that's what we will do. Okay? So thank you. Thank you for coming today. Okay. Now we have Mr. Obeck. Mark, I see that you have two separate requests. One is for the community center budget request. You're more than welcome to come up now for that. And when you're done with that, I'm assuming within the 5 minutes, you can go right into your second request.
Mark Obeck, 4758 South Peninsula Drive, and president of the Ponce Inlet Community Center Board of Trustees. I submitted to Mike our request for budgeting, budget request for fiscal 2025-26, and I'll go through this quickly as I can. First, you'll see our objectives for the coming year. Really starts with increasing our revenues and then increasing the use by community residents. Historically, we haven't made many budget requests. Last year we did, and the town was nice enough to provide a $10,000 budget towards landscaping. Will probably cost us plus or minus $13,000. Why should the town provide us any funding? Frankly, if the town were to run the community center, I think you would see costs in excess of $100,000 between staffing and the maintenance and everything else that goes into running the center. Next. Budget item one, flooring. Anyone that's been in the community center will probably see the spots. We're at a point where we can't clean it anymore. We can't remove the spots. I've used an industrial strength cleaner, and it still isn't working. The flooring is at least 25 years old, needs to be replaced. And that budget request was $18,000 at the midpoint of two bids that we had received. Number two, the front marquee. It is deteriorating to the point where I think it becomes a safety hazard, that it could blow over literally at any time. I took one end of the marquee off the covering, and you can see the rust. And then that first picture, you see the rust on the main support beam. That's almost all the way through. So a strong wind could take the entire thing down. And we are asking for two options here. One, to replace as is, a backlit, or number two, look at LED lighting. LED lighting has come a long way, and I believe stringent enough code could be developed to limit the manner in which lighting is not only installed but also used. So it's no flashing lights. You know, you can schedule how often a screen could be refreshed, and it provides a tremendous amount of flexibility as to what could be presented on the sign dynamically. Budget number three, fans. That is a request to replace one fan that is broken and the other two that have been there, again, since the building has opened. And we're trying to improve, again, the inside of the building to make it more marketable, and it would aesthetically improve the looks dramatically. Number four, lighting. Everything is fluorescent lighting or normal can lighting. Again, the advances in lighting have progressed to the point where LED lights are more than viable and provide a much better economical approach from a electrical consumption standpoint. And number five, cabinets in the kitchen. Again, they've been there since the beginning of the kitchen. We're in the process of applying to the state, as I've mentioned before, for an ongoing service provider license, which would make the kitchen a commissary, which we can rent out. So again, in line with trying to improve the appearance of the center as a whole, this would add to it. So in total, you're looking at a request of between 41.5 and 54.5, depending upon whether or not you go with the LED request. Now, you probably say, okay, well, what has the community center done? Next slide. We've done a lot to keep this place going. Just remember, it is the town's building and grounds. We continue to do our part to improve the building and grounds, and now we're asking, as part of a partnership, for the town to also do that. That ends the community center piece. And I'm out of time.
Now, how much time do you have left?
Not much. The veteran, the memorial update is quick.
Would you like to move on to the memorial question?
We can go right to that.
Okay.
So, quickly, the first slide, you already have seen why we are expanding, so we can skip to the second slide. You can skip that. Our option was to go with new walls. You saw this architect's rendition of what it would look like. And go to the next slide. We're behind what we originally stated, but we believe the footings will be going in this week. And there's the timeline. Don't have to go into it. We're looking at dedicating it Veterans Day of this year. That's where we stand today. And also to the right, that's the pathway up to the memorial. We are replacing, at our cost, at the Veterans Association cost, all of those pavers that have faded. Our provider has a new way of etching and putting an epoxy in the etchings so it will last a lot longer. So we said we can't have the memorial look like it does with these pavers that are recognizing someone's service fading to the point where you can't read them anymore. So we're replacing those at our cost. A lot of money. It's a lot of money. The rollout, we've established a website, PonsonletVeterans.com. We're starting an email campaign and monthly update to subscribers. Our focus is going to be foundation donors, looking for direct donations, also supporters of the wall. People just, hey, like it, and we want to support you on an ongoing basis. And then we're going to have pre-orders for the pavers and plaques. And then we're thinking about an annual subscription to the Friends of the Memorial. Next. That's an artist rendition done by Mary Wenzel, who you might know worked at the Lighthouse. And that will be the foundation or the base of the campaign, the marketing campaign that we'll be going out with. Next. And ask. We would ask that the town council and appropriate management join us in a post-groundbreaking, given that they've already broke ground, groundbreaking ceremony that we can, as part of our marketing campaign, put out there to show that this is indeed another way that Ponce Inlet is partnering with a local association, in this case Veterans Association, to continue to beautify the town and really create a nice way to remember our veterans. Thank you. And just, I know Robert had just a note that he gave me an update that I don't even know about. So if you bear with me for 30 seconds, Robert. Robert has been our engineer, and you all know him all too well.
Robert Bullard, 4802 South Peninsula Drive. We're casting the foundation as we meet. And we expect to have substantial completion, Mark, substantial completion by Memorial Day. The two walls that you see are not necessarily the last and totality of the project. The design also includes the option for a large lighted canopy over the entire wall area, so it'll be illuminated to the extent it is necessary or desired 24/7 if need be. And that canopy is going to be fully supported by the existing wall. So that's where we are right now.
Robert, thank you so much. Mark, thank you so much. I'm sure that we will be able to talk with our manager and figure out a groundbreaking post. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. And now we have Mr. Sandman.
Good afternoon, everybody. Craig Sandman, 37 Ocean Way Drive, Ponce Inlet. First off, with the citizens' participation that we just talked about with Mike and his wife, Natasha, I'd just like to say they are two great people. See them if you ever go down to the park that we were just talking about. They are there feeding all the animals every day. If you have a dog, you walk by, they bring plenty of treats for the dogs, and all the dogs in the area love them. So just wanted to bring that up. They're great people. Maybe someday we put up something for them. But anyways, what I'm here to talk about today, real quick, the police department has done a great job with monitoring and really taking care of the traffic down off Atlantic, South Atlantic, and down into the park, into Lighthouse Park. There is an issue still on Ocean Way Drive and Atlantic because people coming down there and they block the street Ocean Way. So when you're going eastbound, you can't make a left. You can't make a right either, actually, because they block that crosswalk there. The crosswalk is faded out. I don't know if we can put a sign up there that says, don't block the street, don't block this, something, because people are rushing in and out, trying to get around and beat the traffic by going around. Because if you use the GPS, it'll tell you that there's traffic going to the park, and then they tell you to go down Ocean Way, and then they come back on Ocean Way. So we still have a little bit of a traffic problem there. But other than that, police, I don't know how you guys get there so quick, but you're really good at cleaning out on Beach Street and down by the park and getting the traffic to move. But that's still one little area that gets really backed up away. So if there's something, somebody can talk about it or what we need to do, if there's anything we can do.
Oh, did you want to say something, Chief?
And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sandman.
Good afternoon, Jeff Glazier, Ponce in the Police Department. So, yeah, we have done a lot of work in trying to clean up the traffic. I actually have a sign that I was going to put up. I have a huge sign that says, road closed, no through traffic. And I was going to try it on Ocean Way, but I didn't want to scare the residents. So the residents can go around it, but hopefully this will stop the through traffic from the people turning. I don't know if I have another don't block the intersection sign, but if I don't, I can always contact Public Works, and I don't see why we can't put one up. Even temporarily, we can put a barricade with a don't block the intersection sign up. But on the no-through traffic, I was going to try it, and if it doesn't work, we can move it. But if it does, it might be a great help for the residents on Ocean Way.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Chief. And now we have our Volusia County Coastal Director, Jessica Fentress, with an update for the county. Thank you so much for coming.
All these tall people. Good afternoon, Madam Mayor, Honorable Council, Jessica Fentress with Volusia County.
My address is 515 South Atlantic Avenue, Daytona Beach. That is Beach headquarters. I am here today very quickly to give you an update on a couple of different projects that we have going on in the town, most notably the 2025 Army Corps of Engineers Inlet and Intercoastal Dredging Project that's underway. Gator Dredging has, who is the contractor for the Army Corps of Engineers, has mobilized within the park. They have installed the pipe under the Beach Street approach. They are located in the rear of the park. The dredge ship, so the boat that does the act of dredging, is scheduled to show up this April, and they will start constructing their dredge pipe all the way up to Ocean View within the next week or two. We anticipate the dredge to turn on by late April. When the dredge does start occurring, it will be a 24-hour operation. We will abide by turtle lighting requirements, special construction turtle lighting requirements on the beach. We will be doing turtle surveys every morning. The turtle nest located in the construction area will be relocated every morning before 9 a.m. We are currently identifying Ponce Preserve as the closest turtle nursery. We will be placing relocated nests there. We are working with FWC right now to see if they will allow the trap bags to stay. We're currently negotiating with them on that. The jetty connector, so the boardwalk that connects the lifeguard tower to the jetty deck, will be constructed in late April. I need the Army Corps to kind of get out of that area and start going north before I can get my contractor in there to do the work. We're going to have a modified access to the jetty deck this year due to the pipe. If you're familiar with the current layout of the park, there's a 50-foot hole between the dune and the lifeguard tower. That's where the pipe is going. We're going to have a ramp down to the sand. It currently ends in the sand. They're going to put their pipe in. We're going to put a Moby mat over the pipe, and then we're going to ramp back up to our timber walkway so that you can still take your carts and your bicycles and get out on the jetty deck this summer. We did lose a segment of concrete jetty deck during January, which was, you know, shocking because it lasted through all the hurricanes, and then in just some random nor'easter in January, it goes away. We will be replacing that. You may only have a partial opening of the jetty deck until we can get that concrete in there. It really, you have to have the perfect conditions as it relates to the ocean. Lighthouse Point Park Boardwalk Replacement Project is very much underway. We are just about done collecting all of our existing survey and geotechnical information and hope to have a pre-application meeting with city staff once we've fleshed out some conceptual plans and quantified potential impacts. We have tree flagging abundantly within the park. I just want to note that this means the trees have been surveyed. It does not identify them as being scheduled for removal. We hope to utilize laydown areas where there are currently invasive species, and we will be building the boardwalks with minimal impacts to the native environment. Any invasive species we come across as part of the project is slated for removal. The natural paths will be elevated and upgraded to ADA compliance, and the beach walkovers will all also be made ADA compliant. Additional boardwalk will be installed to connect the four walkovers, as well as some additional observation points along the boardwalk. A kayak launch will be slated for the Finger Cove just south of Peninsula Drive. The exact location will be at the direction of the state regulatory agencies to minimize the impacts on the existing mangroves. Construction is anticipated to start on the Lighthouse Point Park Boardwalk Project in early 2026. I need the Army Corps out of there before we go in. The Army Corps is expected to stay until about November. We anticipate the park to remain open with partial closures in areas of construction. Post-construction, we'll work very closely with our Marine Science Center on the installation and production of a virtual walking tour within the park, along with some additional information, signage regarding unique plants and habitat systems that, you know, Chad thinks is interesting. Mr. Disher, Mayor Pritzky, most of the council members all have my contact information. I will leave some cards with the clerk. If anybody has any questions on any of these projects throughout construction, please do not hesitate to reach out to me directly. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for the update. I just don't know before you leave if someone has a quick question for you, a quick one.
No, ma'am, I got mine in at 1:30. Jessica sent me a text and said she'd be here at 1:30, so we had a quick hi.
That's great. Okay. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate when you come in and give us the updates. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, now we are up to item 6, proclamations, presentations, and awards. The first I want to share is I have a proclamation to present declaring the month of April 2025 as Water Conservation Month, and we urge all our residents and businesses to help protect our precious water resources by practicing water saving measures and become more aware of the need to save water. A copy of the proclamation will be found at the town's kiosk. And now what I'd like to do is we have some special recognitions. As our town transitions to a special magistrate system, and our Citizen Voluntary Code Enforcement Board is coming to a close. And I would like to express my gratitude for all of the hard work and the dedication of the members of this board over many, many, many years, and that you've helped to keep the town of Ponce Inlet safe and beautiful, and your commitment and your volunteer spirit has been noticed, and we're so appreciative of all your work. And for the time and your expertise and the passion, it's something you're leaving with the community. You are. It's a legacy for us, so I thank you. And I'm going to come down to the podium. I have certificates of appreciation, and I also have some plaques for those of you who have served for 10 years and more. And when I come down and when you do get called up, I would ask you to stay up, please, because we'd like to have a group photo. So bear with me when I come down, please.
Good question.
Thank you. Well, first we have Pete Finch, seat 3. And he has served for 13 years. There's Pete. Please come up. We have a beautiful longevity plaque for you. I'll read this one, and all of them say the same thing. In grateful appreciation to Pete Finch, in recognition of your dedication to the community as a volunteer member of the Code Enforcement Board and the dates of your service presented this day. Thank you so much, Pete. And is John Michael here? No, I don't see him here. Well, we will hold on to his plaque until we can give it to him. And then we have Kathy Cannon. Mm-hmm. And Kathy has served for many, many years. She was originally appointed as an alternate, and then we were able to keep her. Here is your beautiful plaque. Kathy, thank you so much for all your work. We're so appreciative. And a certificate of appreciation from the town is presented to Elena Richards, and that's in recognition of your dedication to the community as a volunteer board member. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Elena. And we have, is David Van Volkenberg here? Is David here? I don't think I saw him. We will hold on to yours as well till we can see you. And we have Karen Ree. Karen, this is your beautiful certificate, and we want to thank you, and we're very grateful for your service. Thank you. And Rick Feese, I see Rick. Thank you, Rick. So this is your Code Enforcement Board, our volunteers, and we are so grateful for keeping our town the way you did as we transfer to our special magistrate. So thank you to all of you, and we're hoping for a group picture. Where is our council? Where are you? Well, however you like. You were just going to do, and then next. Oh, yeah. We'll do one with everyone, and then I'll have them sit down.
Yeah, that's actually. Yeah, Joe. Yes, please. Stand between these two lovely ladies. That's it right there. Big smile. was fun. I was like, what is that?
All righty.
And next we have a presentation by Sophia Clavel on 4-1 Resilience and Floodplain Management Software. Hello. Thank you so much for coming, and we look forward to this presentation. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm Sophia, Council, Madam Mayor. It's great to be here. I have a quick presentation, and then I also have the previous NFIP State Coordinator and State Floodplain Manager, Con Cole, joining via Teams. I think he's out of the waiting room. Also, hello, everyone. My name is Sophia. I'm a certified floodplain manager, and I'm with 4Runner, which is a floodplain management software. So really briefly, 4Runner works with about 125 communities and states across the United States, as well as 50 communities in the state of Florida. The goal of 4Runner is to recognize that floodplain management and hazard mitigation really matters more than ever, not only for the local officials within the town of Ponce Inlet, as well as your residents on understanding flood risk, and, you know, disasters such as Hurricane Milton, Hurricane Helene that came this past fall, but an awareness that there's a lot of work that your internal team is doing on the back end to make sure folks can get back to their homes safely and to make sure that residents are aware of their flood risk. So the purpose of 4Runner is really to give your community information around their structure and give your code enforcement officers, development official, building official team more time on their hands to review permits, to help with the community rating system, and really have a platform for everything. So we're really a one-stop shop for the National Flood Insurance Program. The acronym is NFIP, so we're really helpful with disaster management, assisting with preliminary damage assessments, substantial damage estimates, the FROC program, as well as managing repetitive loss as well. Do you want to try changing? We also assist with the community rating system, so I know that your team has been working extremely hard to maintain your CRS, which is the community rating system, class 5 rating, and hopefully moving down to a CRS class 3, which saves a significant amount of money for your residents for their flood insurance premiums. And 4Runner is hoping to work with communities across Florida to elevate their class standing as well as have sort of an insurance on that CRS class 5 and hopefully CRS class 3. We work with about 50 communities, as I mentioned, so it's been really awesome to work with communities who are resilience-focused, focused on their constituents who are concerned about disasters and flooding and make sure that folks are informed about their structures. At a high level, the purpose of 4Runner is to consolidate all of your flood information, parcel data, and building information through elevation certificates. So not only will we pull data from FEMA, but also from your GIS now, so zoning information, evacuation routes, whatever it may be. And then all of that data on the internal facing side will be given to your municipality to figure out, you know, who's in which evacuation zone, whether or not you're in a special flood hazard area, and maybe what the requirements are to build in that specific part of town. In terms of elevation certificates, as mentioned, the community rating system is really crucial to your town in terms of saving insurance on those insurance premiums, but one really crucial thing that not a lot of folks know about is an elevation certificate, which is required for all structures within the special flood hazard area. Your internal team works very, very hard to make sure that these ECs are accurate. So one, making sure buildings are built compliantly to local regulatory standards or state standards. But for the CRS program, it's crucial that those documents are filled out 100%, 90% accurate. So 4Runner can just help with the repository of those documents as well as making sure that they're correct. We also manage repetitive loss. So there's a handful of repetitive loss structures and areas within Ponce Inlet. So we'll pull that data with a privacy agreement with FEMA and store that data on a per property basis. It's privately protected. We also have a mobile application, so the Florida Division of Emergency Management requested that we build a tool to allow for communities to do inspections quickly, get folks back into their homes, have permits issued quickly using the mobile application. So this really streamlines post-disaster work, like from Hurricane Milton and Hurricane Ian. And then we'll also automatically generate the substantial damage inspections that are done post-disaster. So we'll use the FEMA substantial damage estimate tool. So your team, again, can do those inspections quite quickly, generate those letters, whether or not a structure has been 50% destroyed or lower than that, hopefully. And again, just get those letters out as quickly as possible so folks can rebuild. We also help with reporting, so any type of reports that, your internal team is doing. Again, the goal is really to have your internal team have more time on their hands so they can focus on your residents or any other stormwater master plans, whatever it may be. And lastly, we have a public-facing website, so all the things that we looked at are important for your internal team, but it's just as important for your residents to have access to that information. So it's read-only, super easy to use, similar to Google Maps or Apple Maps, to search your address, find out your flood risk, and then if you have additional questions, super easy to use our Get Help form and call into the office to have more of an informed conversation. And then I think that's all I'll say for now. I don't want to take too much time. And then I'll pass it over to Con Cole, who is somewhere in the ether, who will touch briefly on how the Florida Division of Emergency Management uses Forerunner, as well as how folks have found the tool, especially,
It looks like it's connecting right now, so it might just be a second.
Maybe I'll pause and ask if anyone has any questions while we're connecting. If not, no
problem. I have a question. Do you track, you may have said this, does the software track funding to anything that we...
Like grant management?
Yes.
Yeah, so we can do, if folks wanted to do like a home elevation grant interest form, they could use the public flood website to submit that application, and your internal team would be notified of that. But we can track any type of grant management, any type of funding.
Whether it's the grant is made by a resident or the town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mayor, can I ask one question?
Yes.
So you mentioned FROC. Mm-hmm. How does this tie in with FROC?
That's a great question. I'm going to have Con Cole dive into that. I should have mentioned that as well.
Hey, that's a great question. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, so FROC is basically Florida's Division of Emergency Management way of streamlining the public assistance process with the applications and the forms. And so that way everyone's using the same forms, everyone's being rated based on the same criteria. And so with Forerunner, we've had a couple of communities ask us if we can bring those standardized forms into Forerunner. So when they are filling out information for their public assistance, their PA projects, and submitting those to FDEM, then they're on the same format. That information is streamlined, and we can pull the information they're needing out of Forerunner and or compile the information that they have elsewhere so that it's a complete application and a complete form. And so not every community is using it because they don't have necessarily PA projects in place, but we have had conversations with FDEM and the FROC team to make sure that what we're doing is compliant and matches the overall goal of FROC. And so we're able to make that process a little bit smoother and easier through the Forerunner platform.
Okay. Quick one. Mm-hmm. Did I hear in your conversation or presentation that this could help with our flood insurance rating?
Yes. Okay. So...
We have a pretty good one right now that Dan, our fire chief, whatever his title is, has worked with. Have you had the opportunity to talk with him yet concerning how that could help our rating? Because I know we have a pretty good rating because of him and the staff in Ponce Inlet. And it sounds like this program could even assist us more with what Dan is doing. So has Mr. Scales, Chief Scales, had the opportunity to look at this program? Yes. What are you saying?
Hank. Hank has
Did
looked
you
at
say?
The program.
Okay, Hank,
yes,
have you had
Hank.
A chance to look at the program?
Yeah, Hank, if you come on up, because my understanding is that we're in the middle of a 30-day trial. You've been using it?
Hank Baker, building official. Yeah, I mean, so as you know, everything's changing in a floodplain management world. This is the best tool that we've found that's going to allow, it's going to make our job easier, but it's also going to allow the citizens to have better access to the information that they need when they need it. You know, making key decisions on what they're doing, you know, whether it's remodeling property or buying lots or what their elevation needs to be, elevation certificate access. So it interacts well with just about everything that we deal with. And to your question, yes, all these things that they provide give us points towards the CRS program,
okay,
which we're going into our recertification this year. This year is the big one.
So this bottom line could really help every citizen in Ponce Inlet using this thing and understanding, because there were a number of people back in 2022, because of where they lived, never considered having flood insurance. With this program, they may have made a completely different decision if they were aware of it. I mean, flooding on Kelly B, whoever, or flooding on Inlet Harbor, whoever would have ever thought that those things could happen,
right.
But yet they did happen. And this could basically, if I'm understanding it correctly, could help this in the future to be corrected.
Yes, sir. And okay. We're also looking to move two more classes with this recertification. That's our hope. We'll see what happens.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from council? Because I think my question to you, Mike, is where do we go from here? Because I do understand that the staff has been using it, and it has been very helpful. What do you want
next of the council?
The
staff has been using it with this trial. They love it. And so our intent is to enter into a short-term contract for the next, June through September, in the hurricane season, to put it to the test. But then we wanted to see this. We wanted the council to see this so that when if it does prove beneficial to us, then we make a request for it in next year's budget, and you'll see what it involves. We'll be able to see how it can help the residents.
Mike, if I heard you correctly, is that I know we're not budgeted yet for it, but we're looking for the next 4 months to work on this?
Yeah, that's something we already have funds for that.
Okay.
You know, that's something it's at a minimal cost for the last 4 months of the year.
Okay.
But an annual contract or a multi-year contract, you know, we would want that to be put into the next year's budget and then get that in front of council for approval.
Okay, so right
so
in
those
this...
Those are our next steps.
So right in this moment, there's nothing further for us to do other than we've just been made aware of something that's very significant and beneficial for the town.
Correct.
Wonderful. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you so much for this overview, and we appreciate all of this, the information that will be so helpful.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Good.
So we're good for now.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. And now we are at the consent agenda. There are two items on the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull one? Anyone in the audience wishes to pull a consent agenda item? Seeing none, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Item 8. Request for co-sponsorship of the Friends of the Marine Science Center Seaside Spring Bazaar event. Jackie.
Good evening, Council. Jackie Alex, Cultural Services Manager. The Friends of the Marine Science Center will be hosting the Seaside Spring Bazaar as a fundraiser for the Marine Science Center on Saturday, April 5th. This event will be held at the Ponce Inlet Community Center with vendors inside selling coastal things themed items. Because it will include food trucks, the event requires a special event permit from the town. Although this is similar to their Ocean Harvest Market event hosted last September, this is the first event of this specific title. The Friends of the Marine Science Center Group is requesting co-sponsorship of this event for a waiver of the special event permit fee of $150. Staff recommends approval of the co-sponsorship request as the criteria have been met. Deborah Pearson, a representative for the applicant, is present should you have any questions.
Jackie, thank you so much. Does the council have any questions of the applicant or Jackie?
No. Okay. Does anyone here, member of the public, have a question of Jackie or the applicant for this co-sponsorship? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve the request for co-sponsorship of the Friends of the Marine Science Center Seaside Spring Bazaar event, including the waiver of the special event fee of $150.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you so much, and I wish you the best of luck with the event. Thank you. Okay, now we have Becky, Town of Ponce Inlet podcast name, presented by Becky Hugler. Thank you so much, Becky.
Good afternoon. Today I'm excited to present an initiative aimed at enhancing the community engagement, the launch of the town's official podcast. The purpose of this presentation is to seek your input in selecting the official name for this communication tool. As we continue to explore innovative ways to connect with our residents, a podcast will offer a modern, convenient, and engaging platform to share important town updates. Unlike traditional newsletters or social media posts, a podcast allows residents to listen while commuting, working, or relaxing at home, making town news more accessible to them. So what a podcast, how that would benefit our community is enhancing communication, it creates transparency and encourages engagement. These episodes will only be about 20 minutes. I've done a ton of research. That's the average span time that people can really listen. We're going to start out monthly, we would like to, and then eventually I would like to go to biweekly, depending. Some of the topics that I've come up with are town news, events, community updates, interviews with town officials, staff, and residents, environmental initiatives. We have watershed master plan. Everybody wants to hear about that. And conservation efforts. Emergency preparedness, I've already done a couple radio interviews on that myself, and that's always a good topic. Public safety tips, and behind-the-scenes look with staff at town departments and projects. So you see that I put out on social media, and I got 17 ideas, which was great. So I was trying to narrow it down to five, and even that was still the top five. I listed them for you guys. What I really want to do today is ask you guys to select an official name, and it doesn't have to be from any of the ones. I know you have a lot of choices. I don't have a preference, so don't ask me. And this name will represent our efforts to inform and engage with the residents of Ponce Inlet in a new way, and we really value your input. We look forward to your decision. And with your support, we can move forward and launch this podcast as another valuable tool to enhance communication and transparency in our town. So thank you, and I welcome your thoughts and your feedback.
A couple things.
Yes, go.
I just
wanted to thank you and commend you for...
About the insurance, too, by the way. I just wanted to tell you that.
I'm sorry?
The insurance brochure that went out for Saturday.
Yes.
Your picture was great.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Thank you. That was... Yes.
That was a nice picture.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I want to thank you because this is a wonderful, new, fresh idea for our town. I'm excited about it, and I know you worked so hard to, you know, bring everybody into the fold to get some input and all, and I do want to say that I'm going to open it up to see what resonates with each council member.
Okay.
And we have to recognize that for me, when I thought criteria-wise of what kind of name we would want, I personally wanted something that was informative of what it is and that would go with the flow when you introduce it and also when you conclude it, because we all listen to podcasts and we don't want you stumbling over the name.
Right.
And I'm just going to say that what I gravitated towards thinking in those terms was inside Ponce Inlet.
Mm-hmm.
That was mine. So, but you all, please, just tell us what you think.
First question, where will I find this podcast?
Everywhere.
I'm going to turn on my computer,
yeah,
and I'm going to look at my screen.
Yeah.
Where will I find this
podcast? So we're going to have it on our website, first and foremost. I'm going to have a link right to it, and I'll put that out on our social media. But there is a tool called –